Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now it's time for Mark and Hart, featuring Mark James.
I'm the reason why rap became great in the Western Mass suburbs.
Love the show. Hate Mark James, but you're an awesome radio host.
This is WEEI.
And I think one
exactly. The next star here at WEEI, that of course is Mark with a C, James.
And you can't spell Marconi without the letters M-A-R-C.
And Andy Hart.
In general, it's a good rule. If you're going to be a jackass, be right.
Hart, outside of you, is so vanilla.
Ow.
But when you guys are together, it really is great.
It is so good, dude.
Can I ask you a very stupid, simple question?
Well, I expect that coming from you.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
Yep. You know what the good thing is when I come to this show? I'm the third biggest a-hole.
Yes, sir.
It's Mark and Hart.
Mark and Hart. That's just the sad reality. Not everybody's perfect like us.
Mac and Hat, right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country.
He is a strong guy, and he's a good guy, too.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people. That was never my intention.
Get that son of a bitch off the field.
I don't know what Drew's going to do, but he probably should just go ahead and retire now. It will never be the same.
What are we doing?
The negative reaction from every talking head on television and some of his teammates was overkill. He made a mistake.
Thank you.
And I will do better, and I will be part of the solution, and I am your ally. And I know no words will do that justice. That's going to have to be action.
The guy's a stone-cold loser.
Even though he didn't call Drew Brees a stone-cold loser, but even though...
You can
literally take something that and put it all together because he said something about somebody.
He's a walking soundbite.
The part with Megyn Kelly when she was... her last days of Fox News Channel during one of the debates. Like, you've called women fat, disgusting pigs. He goes, no, only Rosie O'Donnell. And then the whole crowd went nuts. It's like, and then she's like, no, that is not true. Megan's still collecting her check from NBC. And that's
doing okay.
Yeah.
I think she's podcasting. One of the things people love about you is you speak your mind and you don't use a politician's filter. However, that is not without its downsides, in particular when it comes to women. You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account
only is Rosie several- O'Donnell.
People like go nuts in the background. So there's that. Mark and Hart, Mark James, Andy Hart here with you. The number to get in, 617-779-7937. We're going to get to all your phone calls on this subject. Obviously, this is where people want to go. The NBA is back as well. They're going to be back coming up in July. The NHL, baseball, Bueller, anyone? Baseball, still. Last week was supposed to be the crucial week, according to Jeff Passan. Nothing's happened. And I don't, right now, not going to hold any breath, and neither do I suggest any one of you, tick, 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 tick.
They're not negotiating.
MLB said they're not going to counter.
And the players aren't going to offer another proposal without a counter. So what are we doing here?
It's
silent treatment?
No.
We've crossed our arms and we're just going to look at each other silently?
Meanwhile, I'm just going to enjoy the NBA, see what the Celtics can do in this new playoff format. And I'm enjoy hopefully the Bruins atoning for losing Game 7 of Stanley Cup last year at home with this very... not exactly friendly format that they got to reprove themselves again after having 100 points and winning the President's Cup. But regardless, everyone wants to talk about, obviously, the Drew Brees, President Trump, even Colin Kaepernick. So we're going to go right to the phones on that. Let's go to Mike in Framingham. He's up next. What's up, Mike?
How you doing? Three quick things. First off, Cap, the problem with Cap was he was not the best representative because we talk about Cuba. I've been to Cuba. Cuba is a police state. So if he has a problem with the cops here, he would definitely have a problem with the cops in Cuba.
And he's wearing a Castro T-shirt.
Right, yeah. That's his point.
If people live in fear of the cops in Cuba. If you steal a pack of gum in Cuba, you go to jail for 10 years. So that was the worst analogy to have. Comparison. He reminded me of like Forrest Gump. You know, Forrest Gump stopped running, and people are looking for him to say something profound, and they put the mic to him. That's Cap to me. And I don't know if you ever listened to Arian Foster when he talks. He's amazing. He was on with Tommy Lehrer, and she's like really fast talking conservative. And he even like had her thinking, Arian Foster. He's amazing. And the last thing is the Big Show. When they had Nate Boyer on, they pissed me off because they were twisting his words.
Right. Oh, yeah,
they tried.
They tried. By the way, though, Nate Boyer, Mike, he stood his ground, right?
But he made it clear. I would stand next to somebody who took a knee. He never said that they were disrespectful.
He
wouldn't do it.
No.
So don't compare him to Drew Brees.
Right. Well, Mike, he didn't. And we I sort of understood what Nate Boyer said in terms of, but yeah, they were trying to get him to say something. Like there was one time, I remember it was an interview Dan Le Batard did with Jay Billis, Mike. This is so, just take you back when I mentioned this name, you're going to be like, huh? Like this is like over a decade ago. When Tyler Hansbrough was at North Carolina, Dan Le Batard said, if he was black, would he just be another player? Sort of like the thing that Isaiah and Rodman said about Larry Bird, if he was black, would it be. And then he was trying to get Jay Billis to go for the bait, to go for it. And Jay Billis goes, Dan, this is just stupid, and I don't want to talk about it. He goes, thanks for joining. And it was a very contentious thing, but he was trying to. But listen, Jay Billis wasn't going to fall for it, neither did Nate Boyer.
Good. I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Jeff in Rhode Island's up next. What's up, Jeff?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, it's been a long week to say the least. But yeah, just a couple of quick points regarding Drew Brees. I mean, it was an opinion, and you know, you got to respect. I mean, to like or not like his opinion, it's one thing, but just respect it. I mean, I don't agree. I agree with him. But I also agree with the people that don't agree with them. I mean, I respect it either way. But also, what Andy said earlier, he made two great points. One, a lot of this starts in the home. Like, when we were brought up, I'm a 40-year-old white guy from Cranston, Rhode Island. So I haven't seen a lot of what's been going on. But like you mentioned, Bo Jackson, Deion Sanders, guys like that, when we saw them, we thought, this is just the sickest athlete I've ever seen. It never was. Like, Larry Bird was never like, wow, this guy was a ridiculous white basketball player.
Right.
Jordan was never in. But, I mean, along with that, but I think also the second point you made is all we keep hearing is we got to have a dialogue. But the problem is when you start having a dialogue and it starts going in a direction that one party doesn't like, it gets cut off. And that's where the problem is going to be. But also, what's going to be sad, and you know, it's just history repeating itself. In a month from now, will we be talking about this? Because things kind of fade away.
Right. No, I mean, Jeff.
Until.
Hey, Jeff. To your point, what you're saying is that we're not even talking about Corona, and it's still there, but we're not really talking about it right now, right?
Hey, Mark, listen to this. They have a protest in downtown Providence last night. The governor's there, no mask, no social distancing, but that's fine. Like the riots and the protests have been the cure for Corona. So this weekend, the cookout in my backyard is now a protest.
Right. I know there was no social distancing last week whatsoever, Jeff.
There were some masks. There were.
But they weren't within 6 feet of each other.
No, but technically we are in a phase now where they advise you to wear a mask if you can't social distance. So they were at protests. They wore a mask. But the point is that. The question is valid. What will we be talking about in a month in regards
well,
to
what,
this?
Well, one of the biggest
things... I use the Australian fires thing all the time. What? I don't know when or if they went out. Because for a while, the Australian fires, how many kangaroos they were killing and koalas. And then everybody moved on to another, probably coronavirus. And I'm like, well, the fires, do they ever go out?
Wow, you know what they just did on ESPN? LeBron James is the one who tweeted that. He tweeted, this is why, and he had a picture of Derek Chauvin kneeling on George Floyd's neck next to Colin Kaepernick kneeling on the sideline. I'm like, right. Boy, that's a pretty powerful tweet.
Yep.
That summed up. Steve is up next. He's in the truck. What's up, Steve?
Gentlemen, good morning. This is why you are appointment listening to me. Okay, you guys are amazing. I want to tell you something that's going to blow your mind, then I'm going to get to my point. I'm not an uneducated person, but I'm going to tell you something. I was educated by Wiggy this week.
Wise words with Wiggy?
Yeah, I'll tell you in a minute. Let me give you a little background. I'm a 7-year Vietnam veteran, area veteran of that era. My son-in-law is a master sergeant, 17 years, and he is also a hostage negotiator for the National Police Department. So we're both MPs. And we were taught when you took a person down to the ground to get him under control, you placed your knee in the small of his back. You then applied the handcuffs. Once the handcuffs were applied, you get off the gentleman and you pick him up and you put him in the car or whatever apparatus you have to transport him to the police station. That's where that guy was totally 1,000% wrong. And I'll tell you something else. His chief of his police force got blood on his hands too. This man should not have been in the street after 18 complaints and two reprimands.
Yes.
So that's my point. Well, what Wiggy said today to kind of wise me up. And I'm 67 years old. I coached Wiggy in youth hockey years ago. He said something on the radio this week. He says, you've got to put yourself in my place or my kid's place. And he's right. Because I never had to walk down the street and think a police officer was looking at me in a negative light because of the color of my skin. Neither has my son or my daughter. My grandkid is 5 years old, and he plays with all the little kids in his preschool, and there's black kids, there's white kids, there's kids from other ethnic backgrounds. And you know what, Mark? You're 100% right, and so are you, Mr. Hart. I mean, you said something earlier. You said they don't know that. They don't. He has no idea.
Right.
All he knows is the kid looks different, but he plays with them. They get along fine. So why is it in this country that we can't, for 67 years I've lived here, I finally woke up. I mean, I wasn't a racist, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I was. But, you know, I looked at things in a different way. When I saw Colin Kaepernick kneeling, and I said the same thing being a veteran, who the hell is he to disrespect the flag? Well, guess what? He's not disrespecting the flag. He's stating what he believes is wrong. And I agree with the other guy. You know, we fought for the flag and the oppression and all that. I didn't fight for the flag. I fought for the country, for people. That's what you're fighting for. And to say that someone doesn't have the right to kneel or sit or whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
You know what? That's not for me to decide.
Right.
That's for that person to decide.
Steve, you know one guy, though, who gets sort of lost in all this that was really Kaepernick way before Kaepernick, and he did it when it was way before social media, and it was certainly not at all close to being even accepted? Chris Jackson, a.k.a. Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf.
Yes.
He did that back in the day, and people crucified him. I mean, granted, and back he was cast out of the league, and he was an unbelievable player, and he did it way, and it probably cost him everything.
What year was that, Mark?
What?
What year was that?
Oh, this is like the 90s.
Mid-90s?
Yeah, mid-90s.
Yeah,
because he played with Shaq. Listen, Steve, he played with Shaq at LSU.
Right.
That's right, yeah. And you know what? This was going on when I was in the service in the late 60s, early 70s. And you know what? You would think in 40 years we would finally smarten up and say, you know, come to the realization, you know, there's somewhere it was written, all men are created, we equal. I don't know where I heard that. But you know what? Those words are right. And we should all wake up. You know, no matter what our color our skin is, and realize that black, white, Chinese, whatever we are created equal in God's image. We got to wake up to the fact and stop letting people live their life the way they want to live it and do the right thing. Thank you so much.
All right,
for time.
You got
thanks,
it,
Steve.
All good
right, very good call.
How about that, Wiggy educating him?
Yeah, well, he was a coach. He said a Wiggy back in the day. We'll get back. Obviously, we'll continue this conversation at 617-779-7937. Now it's time for trending.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, the whole world. I mean, this is a news story. Drew Brees, New Orleans Saints All-Pro quarterback, clapback at President Donald Trump on Instagram last night after the president's critical tweets. And Drew's statement reads in part, quote, "We can no longer use the flag to turn people away or distract them from real issues that face our black communities." Roger Goodell in the NFL put out a video last night condemning racism and admitting, "We were wrong to not listen to players earlier about this issue." Goodell also encouraged all players to peacefully protest if they felt the need. The NBA will be coming back. I think training camp's going to start at the end of June, and then the players will ultimately report and get the final 8 games of the regular. That was the one part of it I didn't need.
Sort of the final 8 games.
Yeah.
Some teams aren't included, so it's not the schedule.
Right.
But it's a warm-up. I do. That's the fact that I like. It's a warm-up because I don't want to see the playoffs open and realize, uh-oh, these guys aren't ready.
You
know,
shape.
Some guy goes 1-for-13 on threes. Or, right, some guy's gassed and, like, tapping out.
Well, that's maybe why they're doing the round robin for the top 4 seeds in the NHL.
Give them a little
in the
rust
NHL.
Knockoff period here.
Durant said he's out. He said, nope, my season's over. I don't plan on playing at all. That would have been interesting, though, if he and Kyrie had come back. And
well, yes. The Nets' odds shot way up,
I saw
based
that.
On it. Now they're probably plummeting again.
Yeah, I saw that. And really, the redheaded stepchild of team pro sports, Major League Baseball, them and the Players Association still squabbling over games. The owners saying they're not even going to counter to the players' last counter. They're not going to counter. The owners now want a 48-game season, full prorated salaries, and the players are now pushing for an 82-game season. So they've chopped off about 28 games from last week because it was like 114 a week ago, or 32 games. 32 games. So they chopped off it with 32 from last
week.
They'll
keep going.
You can smell the desperation.
Oh, boy.
They should smell the desperation. Yeah. It's desperate times for them.
Yeah. And here's the thing. So one thing I also didn't mention is probably the biggest lead is that the NBA's season now will start in mid-December. That's going to be the start of probably the NBA season forever from now on. Because they're going to be like, why are we going against the NFL for 2 months? Let's just go late. We'll go way into summer. We'll be the boys of summer. Who do you think more people want to watch? Steph Curry, Durant, Zion, or some dude that hit 49 home runs that nobody knows his name? Or Tim Anderson, who led majors in batting average that you couldn't point out in a lineup, or me.
Well, the thing that it does change, I was talking about this with Keith yesterday, this pushes back the offseason in the NBA. So now their offseason will compete with the NFL. So remember when they used to own the summer?
Right.
Because, you know, all this craziness, LeBron is this, and everybody's going over there.
Right.
Now that's going to happen in October when they're competing with NFL football, college football, all of that. Which is fine. I'm just saying that alters the landscape
a little
bit.
Like the NFL and college football still rule.
Right.
Yeah.
And now
the
NBA, Kevin Durant could sign somewhere and it's a blip because you're watching your Hurricanes play, you're watching Monday Night Football, and you're, oh, shoot, but I'm not really talking about it because I'm watching the NFL.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting. Good point. Michael Jordan, Jordan Brand, pledged $100 million over the next 10 years to combat racism. Robert Kraft pledged or donated already $1 million as well, and Governor Baker will announce a timeline for Phase 2 of the economic reopening plan at 1 p.m. today. I feel sorry for all you small business owners that weren't deemed essential and that are still out after 3 months. We are near the middle of June, and you still have not been able to make I feel awful for all of them. Support your local businesses, please.
Indeed.
That's trending.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
All right, Mark and Hart, Mark James, Andy Hart. You can get our social media handles on Instagram.
Christmas, what are we doing
talk,
here?
M-A-R-C James Talk. Andy Hart, Jumbo. Hey, listen, you don't have to promote yours. I want to promote mine.
I don't care whether people follow me or not. If they want to follow me, follow me.
I had a very witty tweet today about a cannibal.
What was that?
That news rundown was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
At Jumbo Hart, if you want.
There you go.
Like that. I was punny today.
What was it? What exactly did you say?
You have to go to Twitter and follow me. I don't think you follow me.
Was it about a cannibal?
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted to...
by the way, I finally asked Ryan Hannibal, how many times in your life did you get Hannibal the Cannibal or Hannibal Lecter? Goes, oh, yeah, a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, oh, boy.
To be fair, when I first saw him, I thought he looked a little like a serial killer.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he does have a very hard,
he's got a little something there.
Yeah, that's...
If you just saw that on the news, like the mugshot, you'd be like, you'd give him that dog look where you'd turn your head a little sideways, like, what's this guy got going on in there? Love Ryan Hannibal, though.
You know, I do,
good
too.
Good dude. Great at his job.
Yeah.
I did want to mention, today is actually the 76th anniversary of D-Day. You know, we've been talking about fighting for the country and World War II and World War I and, you know, the Battle of Normandy and everything. So today is that anniversary. So I don't know how that plays in this whole atmosphere that we're in, but a lot of very good Americans lost their lives.
Yes.
And gave us whatever freedoms we have or don't have at this point, I guess, would be the way to interpret it.
Very well said. John in Hyde Park, thanks for holding. What's up, John?
So I have a couple ideas that I don't think I've ever mentioned before. Well, one is the flag is red, white, and blue, and the red on the flag is blood. Somebody is bleeding right now on a battlefield, and so we can have the freedom for that flag, and that flag you can do anything with. But they're also bleeding on American streets. That is black blood on that flag. That's our American citizens. You don't have to be a soldier to be to have that flag mean something to you. Another thing I would like to say is that it's not a generational thing, but I was born in 51 and civil rights didn't come around till 64. And that's when people really got educated, because people would respectfully say, sir, that's not your drinking fountain. Yours is over there. And that was legal. And then only the visionaries.
I know. I've seen those signs. It's like disgusting. You know?
As a society, we're learning. We're still learning. And it, like you said a little while ago, it takes a process, a long time. Could take 50 years. We don't want it to take 20 years. But it's already been since 64, you know. And so I think that, and I had another thing I wanted to say. And it's about social circles, too. I really wouldn't know the plight of the blacks because I don't hang around them. I don't hang around the Vietnamese in East Boston or the Chinese in Chinatown or the Haitians in Hyde Park. Certainly friends, but, me being an older man, I know the younger generation has to do that, you know. And if you looked at everybody, you know, black, white, or whoever, right, as any lady could be your mother, whether she can take care of you, even if you're white and you're black, what difference does it make? You have to treat people with your heart. You have to be good, you know? And just one other odd little thing here is, did you ever see that movie, The Curious Life of Benjamin Button, where the lady took in that
baby. You know, she was black. The baby was white, but she knew she had to love that baby. It's all in the love of things. I'm all done, but thank you for letting me have my moment.
All right, son. It's nice to hear from someone, an older generation who, like, looks at things and just doesn't look at things through the prism and spectrum of, like, his era, and able to see that, hey, man, you know, we got it wrong. They got, like, I mean, it's just crazy. One of the pioneers in college basketball, Dean Smith, he brought the first African-American basketball player into the ACC at the University of North Carolina. And he was recruiting. Patrick Ewing, you know, was recruited by Dean Smith, and he was the best high school basketball player in the country from Cambridge Ridge and Latin High School here in Cambridge, right here in Boston. And Patrick Ewing goes down there, and they're having a KKK rally in 1980 or whatever it was. And he's like, coach, he goes, I love the school. He's like, I think it's great. He would have teamed with Michael Jordan, James Worthy, and Sam Perkins. Think about that team for a second, okay? So he goes, I can't go there. So Dean Smith said, you know what? I understand. He's like, I'm gonna, and I like, a lot of people don't know this. He goes, I'm going to set you up with a coach that you should go play for. He sent him to Georgetown to go play for John Thompson. As they say, the rest was history. Right. But that was Dean Smith. Dean Smith's assist to John Thompson, Georgetown, and what really became, you know, and I love those teams. God, they were so great. Was just, you know, like, you need to go, and John Thompson's the right guy for you to play. And you know, and ironically enough, 2 years later, they met in the national title, and a guy named Mike Jordan.
Right.
Mike Jeffrey Jordan. And then he said afterwards he became Michael. He hits the shot to beat Georgetown and Patrick Ewing. So I thought that was a very interesting. But Dean Smith, may his soul rest in peace, was he was a guy that was very you know, pro Black Lives Matter all the time. And believe me, down there, we're talking in North Carolina, that was not popular. You know what I mean?
Which is a discussion we're in locally right now with Bill Belichick. He's sort of come under fire recently. Been a lot of columns written about, you know, Tom Curran wrote one for NBC Sports Boston. Ken Laird wrote one. I know Pro Football Talk, that Belichick needs to release a statement. Belichick needs to say something. I don't necessarily agree with that.
I don't think he does either.
I'm not really sure.
Right.
Most of the leaping off point is the letter to Trump 4 years ago when Trump was running for president, and he sent him that letter supporting him, and then talked a little bit about, that's a friend that I'm supporting. Now people think he needs to sort of disavow his relationship with Donald Trump. Or I'm not sure exactly what people are looking for from Bill Belichick, but
no.
We have reports that internally the Patriots, during their sessions, have discussed these issues in race relations, and Bill has been a leader and been supportive. And, you know, historically, Bill has a great relationship working with Jim Brown in Cleveland, with gangs and prisons, and, you know, he's done his share of good deeds. I don't know that I need, or he would even value more than his actions, some statement that he would put out. If he wants to do it, then sure. But I don't think, you know, because Ken Laird and Mike Florio and Tom Curran say he should speak out.
Why? Why wasn't Andy Reid? Why? You know what I mean?
I can also understand why Brian Flores wants to speak out.
Yes.
I think he may have been the first coach individually.
Because if, like, Belichick, well, what's his, then the equivalent to Belichick in college football is Nick Saban.
Right.
So, or the equivalent to him in college basketball is Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K. So, no.
If they want to, sure.
Right, but they don't have to.
I don't know that they should be pressured into it. And now, you know,
Have you ever heard of any player, any former player, any player at all, former player specifically, say something that, hey, playing under Coach K or Nick Saban or Bill Belichick is you know, no one's ever, like, they.
But you do have that at Iowa right now. I don't know if you've followed that.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a turmoil building at Iowa, how that program is run, and some former players talking about, you know, their blackness or the way they dressed or the way they came, you know, where they came from and how they acted didn't fit with the Iowa Hawkeyes program. And now Kirk Ferentz has had to sort of talk about that, and, you know, we'll see where that goes. And there's a lot of that. This feels a little bit like the Me Too movement in that it started up here, and now it's like sort of splintering down and spreading. There was a Utah assistant coach who's now been suspended because he used a racial slur.
I saw that.
And even, I'm forgetting who the player was that said, you know, he used this slur to me, and then he actually went to the school. It was during the recruiting process, went to the school, graduated the school when he was a senior, addressed the coach about it,
and the coach gave him a half-ass apology. But he admitted the coach is a great coach. He's a great football coach.
Right. How about what Florida State, Mike Norvell?
Right.
And he said, we've had individual. And then their star, all-American player, Marvin Wilson, goes, no, we didn't have individual. And now they're boycotting workouts.
Right. Hey, so this the snowball is picking up steam in a lot of ways.
It's permeating.
Good and bad.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it goes. But I'm interested in that angle of, Jake Fromm, the text messages that came out, clearly somebody screwed him because they were text messages, somebody that's in us. But, you're going to see more of this where, past histories are being brought up, whether they should be, shouldn't be. That's a whole nother separate debate as to what people did in the past and whether that's relevant today, not relevant. There's a whole layer there.
I'm glad, and maybe we'll hear about in the last hour. I don't know, but one of the things nobody's called in, what someone wanted to call in the other night, and I thought today we were going to get this for, all 4 hours. Well, look at what Drew Brees, his whole, career. He's never, I don't think Drew Brees is a racist. Number one, I don't. His timing couldn't have sucked even anymore if he tried. It was the timing. And it's not about the flight. And remember this too. The United States military do not monopolize the American flag. They don't. Just remember that. They do not own the flag. The flag is about everybody in the country. It's a melting pot. White, black. Shahid Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, said, hey, you don't know the barriers I had to break through? I'm a Muslim American and a Pakistani, and I had to break through to get in the NFL to become an owner. And so they're very pro, and all that, too. And you can understand that. Jacksonville is... Oh, and his son, the owner in... president and CEO of AEW banned Hulk Hogan and his ex-wife Linda because Linda had a racist tweet about Afro-Americans this week. And he goes, well, now you're banned from AEW events just like your husband. And I didn't know her husband was banned, but Hulk Hogan.
Oh, he's got, yes.
Hulk Hogan had the video dropping an N-bomb. And it's like, dude, that's just bad. I want to go Cliff in New Hampshire real quick. It's been holding for a while. Hey, Cliff, thanks for hanging in.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. Great show. Really great show. If I was a celebrity and I had a platform, I think I'd be advocating the fraud that we perpetrate to the world. And that's the name of this country, the United States of America. There's nothing united about this country. It hasn't been. I'm 69 years old, so I think I can speak from that perspective. I mean, it's a good country, can be a great country, but the name is a fraud. That's all I have to say, guys.
Okay. Okay, Cliff.
All right.
I don't disagree because you look at it, whether it's race, financial.
It's the divided states
political,
of America.
Yeah. I mean, really all ways.
Yeah.
We are divided.
He's right.
On some level.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but it's also probably the real world.
I mean, he's right. The divided states of America. How about this one? The maggot... A cop who pushed down the elderly man in Buffalo was charged with felony second-degree assault. So
I got no problem with that.
No,
there was no need.
None. All right, we'll get back to your calls on the other side.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're right back to Mark and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
Mark and Hart, WEEI. A lot of people want to chime in, 617-779-7937. Peter in North Andover is up next. What's up, Peter?
Well, first I want to say thank you for your show. And this week has been really tough on my heart because of the sadness that has come over this country because of George Floyd. I was a young white American boy and was seriously injured and assaulted by a North Andover police officer in 1970s with witnesses and police witnesses. And it took over 7 years to go through the system. My dad spent over $100,000. And when the suit was all finalized, the police officer was found guilty 4 or 5 counts against my civil rights. And I was awarded $1 for punitive damage and $1 for personal damage. And the town picked up the lawyer bills and my doctor bills. So police brutality has been going on for many, many, many years. And I'm sorry that we had to lose a person, and I call him a person because that's what he was to me, for this to open up the doors of the American citizen. And I just want to say that I've never felt so hurt for this country because of the state that we're in.
Okay, Peter, I appreciate your phone call. Obviously, this is a really...
It's an emotional issue.
Yeah, it's an emotional issue. No question about
especially,
it.
Especially, again, somebody who personally had a story and a personalization to mm-hmm. the topic and the issue.
Yeah, police brutality, it's certainly something that's been going on. And we know.
And like, it doesn't just go on to blacks.
No,
it goes on at a higher
exactly
rate.
What I was, it goes on, but this is obviously something that, and you can trace it, even, like I obviously mentioned, because that's my first reference of police brutality was the Rodney King riots in 91, and then in 90, well, the riots were in 92, the beating was in 91, and then the acquittal was in 92. So that's what that's my go-to, that's what my frame of reference there, but that's been going on for decades and centuries, and I mean, it's not even, you know, it's something that... yeah, you could hear it. I mean, listen, man, it's true emotion. And Peter, listen, we appreciate you listening to the show.
Yes.
I mean, it's a very untenable time right now in this country.
It's a strange time. That said, yeah. I don't really understand the defund the police and get rid of the police.
No. That is
how exactly is that going to work?
No. No.
Like, that makes no sense to me.
No.
Isn't that what's the old saying, throwing out the baby with the bathwater or something?
Yeah, that
are all cops bad?
No.
Do we not need cops?
No.
Because who are you going to call?
I mean, yes, we do need cops.
Right. And who are you going to call? And it's not the Ghostbusters when you have a problem.
Right.
Like, there's a time you need the police, right? Or are we just going back to everybody's got a gun and we're going to stand at the front door and I'm going to carry a gun in my car. And if I don't think you did something, I'm going to Wild Wild West where we just shoot and have duels. Like, I don't really understand the idea of defunding the police and not having police. That would be a topic. You know, I like to be educated on our show.
Yeah.
If somebody can educate me on how exactly it would work in a successful way to not have police, to defund the police, I would be very interested in that.
Oh, I would too. Damien's up next in Lawrence. What's up, Damien?
Hey, guys. Thank you guys for giving us this voice today, this platform, having this discussion with America today. You know, first I called in, I wanted to talk about the Drew Brees. He said he's sorry. You know, I believe everybody else should have a look at themselves. You know, the celebrities, we told them to use their platform. We didn't tell them to use their platform to go against each other. You know, he's been a man of a higher standards. He's done a lot for the community and for the minorities, you know. So we just give the man a break. We want them to speak out, to encourage people to go out and vote in their locals, in their state communities. Because as you guys can see, enough was enough. Rest in peace. For George Floyd was just the tip of the iceberg. This is going on everywhere, all over the United States. Every small town, every small community, this protest that's going on is because of the police. Not all police are bad, because I've seen a police that's going around. And this man, he stepped up and he spoke like a police officer should. I don't know if you guys seen him. I'm not. But he spoke up and he got fired and everything. So we asked them to, you know, everybody just come together. This is racism is in the police and the system is bad. That's me as a minority. I felt like George Floyd when the system has their knee on my neck. I'm asking them to let me breathe. You know, if I know I could change, they could change. You know, I felt them. And I know America felt them. So we just need to all come together. You know, I'm not saying it's kumbaya or nothing, but let's really bring change. That's why I think that this, and a month from now, I think that this is really going to spark up. This is not going to go away.
No, I agree. And I'm with you. And Damien, I hope this isn't just some, ADD. Well, this is the topic du jour during this news cycle. And I believe that this thing will,
yes,
you know, from now on, will be a better country for it. It just sucks, Damien, that people like Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, exactly, George Floyd, Philando Castile, Freddie Gray, and all these, you know what I mean?
I don't mean to cut you off. And those are just the people that we know about, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So there's a lot. There's a lot, you know, and I believe now everybody's waking up like, oh, wow, wait a minute. There really is that police brutality, because look what happened in Buffalo. I'm not saying color. This is not about color, because I've seen beautiful commercials and shirts and memes when they say of race, white people. My kids are half white. So I could say, white people saying, if they start shooting, stand behind me.
Right.
You know, that's what we need. This is just open up everybody's eyes. You know, those are people that you guys are talking about just on camera. You know, we just need to just stop. And that's why I believe in a month from now, you know, this is just opening doing. But now you agree with it. You know,
here's my thing, Damien, on Kaepernick. I question his intentions, prior to him taking a knee, he was all about, you know, taking shirtless selfies on Instagram and all about himself and this, that, and the other. And then his girlfriend, who is a famous radio host, she was the one who really got him to stand up for the movement. And so I question, why was he doing it at the time? But yeah, in hindsight now, it's like, you know, it's sort of, and another thing I don't like about Kaepernick, Damien, appreciate the phone call, was that he settled with the NFL. Like, Muhammad Ali never settled with the United States government when he was, you know, a draft dodger for the Vietnam, and he believed in not going over there and fighting, and in his opinion, what was called innocent people. And like, Muhammad Ali, were like, Kaepernick settled. You know, it was like, when you settle, it just sort of, it takes a little bit away. And another thing, too, in corporations as a whole, I want to say this is too, there's a lot of corporations out there. They preach D&I, diversity and inclusion. I worked for one of my former employers. I'm not going to say where, so you can't, I'm not going to let you guess. But they're all about diversity and inclusion. How many minorities or members of color do they have in senior management? Not middle management. Senior management? Zero. So don't talk about diversity and inclusion and do commercials about it. Be about it. I'll leave it at that. Hour four next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.